that was read is taken from Leviticus chapter 5, verse 5 through 11. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 5 through 11. We are looking, if you choose to title the study, you may title it The God of Mercy and Second Chance. The God of Mercy and Second Chance. And while other passages will bear on the subject, we will spend much time on the text of Leviticus chapter 5. But other passage will come in to help us understand better God's word. A lot of what we'll be discussing this lesson centered around the holiness of God. And the fact that God requires that we be holy. We must understand that sin affects us both here and in the hereafter. I repeat. Sin affects us here and now. The disruption of our peace that we experience for different reasons. The stress that comes our way, the tears that we shed, the unhappiness that is felt, all of these are as a result of sin that affects us here and now. The men and women behind the bars of prison, that is as a result of sin. The sick on the hospital bed is as a result of sin. Had there been no sin, there would be no illness. That's right. And I'm not saying that a person is sick because necessarily of their sin. Remember, we are affected not only by our sin, our personal sin, but we are affected by the sin of others. Almost the entire world is touched by the war in Ukraine. Men and women who have never been there, who don't plan to go there, who have never hurt anybody there or in Russia, we are affected. Sin is like that. But remember, sin does not only affect us, but it affects God. In fact, that's the awesome thing about sin. When the Almighty God speaks about his own holiness and that we are to be holy, it's because that God created us to be holy, to be pure, to be sinless. But when he created us, he gave us the freedom of choice, free will. And God make it possible from the beginning that we could choose. And God would have it no other way. Do you know that even as sinful, frail human beings, we would rather, if a person is obligated to us, let's discuss parent-children relationship. A I should have a feeling of obligation to my mother and father. Of course, they are dead. But if children are grown and their parents are in need, they should have a sense of obligation. But any mother or father would prefer that that child does the kindness their parents need willingly rather than be forced. Well, so is God. God does not want us to serve Him because we are compelled to. God wants us to serve Him out of a willing heart. So God gave us that agency of free will, where when He created us, we were able to choose that we want to please ourselves and not please God. That's what happened. That's why sin came into the world. As recorded in the book of Exodus, God had chosen the Israelites as a special chosen people. Do I need to repeat the fact that has been stated here so many times, that when the Almighty God chose the Israelite as His chosen special people, the main purpose for choosing a people was to bring the Savior into the world. That's what it was all about. The Almighty God wanted a certain degree or a certain amount of consciousness of God, a certain amount of spirituality or religiousness to be in the world when the Savior comes in the world. The Almighty God wanted that. In fact, that was necessary. It was necessary that by the time the only and the true remedy for sin comes into this world, men and women would not be so far gone that they could not see the need for a Savior. So when the Almighty God chose the Israelite, it was for that reason, that the Savior of the world would be born through that nation and be born in a world where men and women had some consciousness, not only of God, but of right and wrong. What joy it was. What privilege it was for God to have chosen this people, Israel. But along with being chosen by God, along with that came the requirement and the responsibility of living for God and being a holy people. You see, when they were chosen, they were not just chosen to galanso. No. They had to live a certain way. So if Exodus is the good news, the cutthroat Exodus, you know, the emphasis, you are my people, you are specially chosen by God, you are a special people. This comes up in the book of Exodus and is worded in different ways throughout the book of Exodus. So if Exodus is the good news, you are chosen by God, Leviticus is the bad news. In what way, Brother Mitchell? This is what is expected of you by God. That's what Leviticus, you know, it is the book of sacrifice. And coming out in the book of Leviticus is what you as my people are to be in my sight throughout your generation. Let us look at God. We are going to look at God. Remember the title of the lesson, The God of Mercy and Second Chance. So we want first to look at God. God the perfectionist. God the pure. God the holy. The emphasis in the book of Leviticus is holiness. That's the emphasis. The entire book, the emphasis there is holiness. Holy appears some 87 times in the book of Leviticus alone. In fact, I may just add, the word holy or holiness appears in the book of Leviticus more than any other book in the Bible. Holiness. And because God is holy, he requires that his people be holy too. Let us look at Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45. Let us hear it.
For I am the Lord.
I am the Lord.
That bringeth you up out of the land of
Egypt. I brought you out of the land of Egypt.
To be your God.
Yes, and that comes along with I being your God.
Ye shall therefore be holy. For I am holy.
Because I am holy. Just a minute, holy. Notice too that whenever we read the word, as many of us well aware, the word sanctified and the word holy is the same word, express the same idea, the same concept. The word sanctify and the word holy. It means to be separated, to be set apart. It means to be different in a positive, in a pure way, holy. It means to be set apart to God and for God. That's the main concept in the word. To be set apart to God and for God. The word holy also carries with it conduct befitting those who are God's children. God says they should be holy because I am holy. Not only that, there are many things that constitute ceremonial holiness and also things that constitute ceremonial unholiness. Let us run to the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 22. And chapter 29, verse 42 through 44. Let us hear chapter 19 first, verse 22.
And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord.
Watch here now. Let the priests. Wait. While we go along. There was always necessary, and here we are almost in the beginning of God's revelation. There was always that aspect of God over one side and man on the other side. That separation between man and God. And this is why you need a bridge builder. A priest. That's exactly the concept in that word. One who build bridge. One on whom you can cross over to make connection between God and man. Read that again. Start again.
And let the priests also.
Let the priests.
Which come near to the Lord.
Which come near to the Lord.
Sanctify themselves.
Be holy. You see, the priest is the one who touch God and touch man. He does it both on behalf of man and on behalf of God. In what way, Brother Mitchell? Both? Yes. God wants to be in a right and a good relationship with man because of God's love. Man needs to be in a good relationship with God because he was created for that. But because of his sin, so both need to be in right relationship. But sin separated them. So this is why you need a priest. You read verse 22 there just now?
Lest the Lord break forth upon them.
What?
Lest.
Did you all get the brothers just read where the Almighty God commanded the Israelite or the priest to be sanctified. What did you say, Brother Mitchell? That means to be holy, to be set apart for God. I believe the passage he read was that the priest should sanctify themselves. In a little while, we're going to read where God sanctified them too. It's a two-way thing, but we'll soon look at that. Let the priests who come near to me sanctify themselves. Lest what happen?
Lest the Lord break forth upon them.
No, nobody wants God break forth upon you. But Brother Mitchell, what does that mean? Look in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3, and you will see what that means. Let us hear it.
Then Moses
Is
said.
Is that Brother Brown? Brother Brown, good to see you, brother. Good to see you. Yes.
Then Moses said unto Aaron. This is it that the Lord spake.
Saying,
I will be sanctified in them.
Here again, brothers and sisters, the word holy. I will be set apart
in them.
In them that come near to me. Now this is exactly what we have read in chapter 19 and verse 22. When the Almighty God commanded the priests who come near to him to set themselves apart. That is, they should conduct themselves as God commanded. They should be pure. They should be holy in all the ways that the Almighty God told them to. And here you have, watch here. You have Nadab and Abihu set out to worship God the way God dictated. But you know what, brothers and sisters? They did their own thing. We cannot be sanctified and be holy when we do our own thing. Watch here. It's not just immorality, but even in worshiping God, we cannot do our own thing. Because the business of being sanctified here, as spoken about here in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3, this have to do with Nadab and Abihu doing contrary to what God commanded, and that was worship. What did I say? That there are many things which constitute ceremonial and holiness and cleanness, etc. So here we see God break out up on Nadab and Abihu and kill them because they were not holy. And that unholiness had to do with how they worship God. Are we there? Sanctify. Look at Leviticus 21, verse 6.
They shall be holy unto their God.
Mm-hmm.
And not profane the name of their God.
Mm-hmm.
For the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and the bread of their God.
That is, when you are making these offerings, make sure it's done according to God dictates. But let us look on a little more. A while ago, I brought to your attention that they should sanctify themselves, made themselves holy. But God also made them holy. Look at 29, I think, verse 44. Read from verse 42. That is Exodus.
This shall be a continual burnt offering
mm-hmm.
throughout your generations
mm-hmm.
at the door of the tabernacle
mm-hmm.
of the congregation
mm-hmm.
before the Lord,
mm-hmm.
where I will meet you to speak there unto thee.
Yeah, just don't move, brother, from where you are. It's also interesting to notice that are we all there? In the same way the Almighty God, Christ, promised to be with us where two or three are gathered in his name, here you have the same concept that God, when God commanded that the tabernacle be built, here the Almighty God is promising that is there he will meet with the Israelite. Very important. Does Christ meet with Christian when we come out to worship him? Yes. Jesus Christ made that promise. And here the Almighty God telling Moses, there we are, at the tabernacle, I will meet with you. Read, brother.
And there I will meet with the children of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory.
This tabernacle shall be sanctified, set apart by the characteristic of God. The word holy carries that concept. The characteristic of God. Uh-huh. Read. What verse is that?
Verse 43.
Read on to 44.
And I will sanctify the tabernacle.
I will sanctify the tabernacle.
of the congregation.
Of the congregation.
And the altar.
And the altar.
I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons.
You remember why we came to this passage? First, they were told to sanctify themselves. That is 19:22 of the book of Exodus. Here we are told in 29:44 that God would sanctify them. Well, Brother Mitchell, who sanctify who? What the passage states is right. You see, when we I'm trying to cover, it just came to the mind. Luke chapter 7, verse 29, I think. Let me see if that's the passage I want. Luke chapter 7, we are talking about sanctified. Luke chapter 7, let me hear 29 or 30, somewhere about there.
And all the people that heard him,
mm-hmm.
and the publicans, justified God,
mm-hmm.
being baptized with the baptism of
okay,
John.
Okay, may I? It's not the word sanctify used here, but what the word used can help me to illustrate the point. All the people did what?
Justified God.
The word justify and the word sanctify are not the same word, though they carry some of the same concept. Throughout the Bible, we hear about God justifying man. We are justifying Jesus Christ. And the word justify and the word righteous are from the same word. They carry the same idea. Justify, righteous. But watch here now. And all the people did what, brother?
All the people that heard him,
mm-hmm.
justified God.
How can man justify God when throughout the entire Bible, we are told that it is God who justifies man? How did they justify God, brother?
Being baptized with the baptism of John.
How did they justify God?
Being baptized with the baptism of John.
You all hear? This is one of the passages that emphasize the importance of baptism. That man justify God when they yield their lives in obedience to the condition of baptism. What does it mean, Brother Mitchell? They make a statement that God is holy and just. Every time a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, repent and get baptized, you are making a statement about God. Just by your action, you are saying, I yield to God's command because God is just, righteous, and holy. That's the concept here. All the people justify God being baptized with the baptism of John. They are making a statement about God. And we need to let the ungodly men and women know that when we tell you from God's word that you must be baptized in order for the Almighty God to save you in Christ, we must help them to understand that when you yield to God's condition of baptism, you are making a statement about God. You are acknowledging that God is just. Back to the word, sanctified. How does man sanctify God? It carries the same thought. That you reverence God, you set God aside as being holy, righteous, when you do what he says. So when the priests were asked to sanctify themselves, that is, they are acknowledging that God is worthy and wise to tell them all the things that were preconditioned to they coming to the tabernacle, and offering sacrifice. May I? They had to, before they could enter the tabernacle, they had to wash themselves. They had to put on particular outer garment, and they had to do all these things. When they did those things, they sanctify themselves. Brothers and sisters, may we go on. There is also the emphasis on perfection. Anything given or dedicated to God, it must be without defect. That's right. I mean, anything they gave to God. Look at Leviticus 22:19-21. Let us hear it. And this business of perfection, this is why we find so much emphasis in the book of Leviticus of being, emphasis on cleanliness, clean, pure. In fact, the word cleanliness is used, and its synonyms is used some 200 times in the book of Leviticus alone. Look at 22:19-21.
Ye shall offer at your own will a meal without blemish.
That means you must be willing to offer this. I'm telling you what I want. But you must do it willingly.
Of the beeves, of the sheep,
or
of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer.
May I? Brothers and sisters, may I? If your mind is working and saying, well, that is Old Testament, that has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with us. That's right. The business in the book of Leviticus and Old Testament about things without blemish. For one, this stipulation was first pointing to Jesus Christ and pointing to us, God's people. May I? God's business, Jesus Christ's business in the church now, throughout this last dispensation, is to day by day make us without blemish. The church is really Jesus' hospital. That's right, in a spiritual way. And we not just come to church. God, the Bible in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 47, and the Lord added to the church. Notice this. It's not simple those that were saved. It's not simple that. It's those that were being saved. S-A-V-E-D. Being saved. And the being saved mean this is ongoing. That's right. Wait, Brother Mitchell, I thought I got saved when I was baptized. Yes! But God not finished with you yet. That's right. For the next 1 year, if you die a year after you became a Christian, or the next 10 years, or the next 20 years, or the next 50 years, God is still working on you to make you a pure, cleansed person. Watch here now. Please cooperate with God. Now put up any resistance. Give Jesus Christ a chance to make you holy. Wait. You know, the blessing that I had in mind and was working on until almost the latter part of this week should have been taken from the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. And that is, it deals there with that, watch here now, it is in the church that you give God glory. That was the lesson, and within the next week or two, great lesson. That the church is the sphere. It is the place where God is to be glorified. But the church is not only the place where God is to be glorified. The church is Christ's hospital where he is making people spiritually whole. You are still at 9:22:19.
But whatsoever hath a blemish.
Whatever hath a blemish.
That shall ye not offer.
You see, blemish represents sin, ungodliness, impurity. So this is why the sheep or the cow should not have any blemish. Simply because of what that sheep being offered to God or that cow being offered to God. Simply because of what it represents. No blemish, him no want that one. Read on now.
For it shall not be acceptable for you.
You see, it shall not be acceptable for you. You know, earlier on I said, you say, Brother Mitchell, that have nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with us. Because all of that was pointing to the New Testament, pointing to Jesus Christ and to Christian. Read on. What verse you are now?
Verse 20.
20? Let us hear 20, 21, 2, with whatever left in 20.
And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted.
In other words, if it's going to be accepted by God, it shall be without any flaw. That was pointing to Jesus Christ and to how God wants his people to be. And how God wants his people to be, that's going to be accomplished in the church. This is why men and women who became Christian and quickly they backslide, they have deprived themselves of what Dr. Jesus wants to accomplish for them and in them. That's right. Read it, brother, read it.
Blind or broken.
That's right, Brother Webb. Thank you. Take time with that. you know, I'm fascinated on one occasion. You know, a lesson like this, or part of the purpose of this lesson, the goal was, is to help us understand God and God's will. And I'm getting down to a point, in fact, I'm going to get to that point very early because time is going for me to wrap up. You know, for us to not just understand God, but understand what is required of us. On one occasion, the point that Brother Webb called our attention to is the fact that on one occasion, the Almighty God asked them not to give him any lame animal. Are we all there? And the Almighty God asked him a question. Would you give that to your governor? I find that striking. Because the Almighty God watches how we operate down here. Huh? The Almighty God watches. Watch here now. The emphasis and the cost that I don't spare to send my children to school, secular school, but that I pay no attention to get them to Sunday school. God watches that. And God watches when the Israelite would look for the sheep that walk and, you know, the sheep have a problem. They couldn't take that to their governor. But they would want to pass it on to the priest for God. God brought that to their attention. And this, what it says here, brother?
Blind or broken.
Uh-huh.
Or maimed.
Uh-huh.
Or having a wen. Or scurvy.
Uh-huh.
Or scabbed.
Uh-huh.
He shall not offer these unto the Lord.
Wait. We are not offering sheep, but we are offering other things. And what this passage is saying to us, God wants our best, not the riffraff. We must ever remember that. You come to church only when you have some spare time, when friends are not visiting you, when you don't have anything better at home to do. No, the best time to come to church when that coming is important to God is when there are a pile of things for you to do. When there are dozens of demands being made on you by secular things. But you put them aside because you consider worshiping to God is important. That's the best time to come to church. Let me wrap up this lesson. God requires men and women to be morally, spiritually clean, holy. But men and women need God's help for cleansing. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians 5:26.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water.
Start again.
That he might sanctify.
That Jesus Christ may sanctify. Wait. This is talk about the church, you know. This is talk about the church. We cannot be saved if we are not sanctified by the Almighty God through Christ. And while our life, our conduct, our thoughts, our speech bear upon this being sanctified, the Almighty God in Christ is also sanctifying us as we remain faithful in the church. The passage the brother is reading here is telling you what the Almighty God through Jesus Christ is doing for the church. That he may do what, brother? Read now.
That he might sanctify.
That he might sanctify.
And cleanse it.
Now it.
And
cleanse it
with the washing of water.
That's talk about the church. But the church is not the building. It's the people who submit their lives to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm.
And with the washing.
Wait. Prayer does not sanctify us. Being a nice man or woman does not sanctify us. Good deeds are necessary, but they do not sanctify us. Are we all there? Our living godly, pure, Christ-like, obedient lives, plus the initiative that God takes in Christ to set us apart. That's how we are sanctified, that he may sanctify it. Look at Galatians. Look at Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 21 through 22.
Is the law then against the promise of God?
Mm-hmm.
God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law.
Now what this passage is implying, that righteousness does not come by any man or woman keeping law. Any law. Any law. Righteousness going to come by God's initiative. Amen. God has to make us righteous. But we have to be obedient to him. Read on a little more, brother.
But the scripture hath concluded all under sin.
Mm-hmm.
That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
might be given to them that believe.
What verse you stop there?
The end of verse 22.
Okay, stop there, brother, because let me go on and just share a few more things here. Because I don't want to end this lesson and don't look at this. And what one of the last point to be looked at in this lesson is the fact that God is not only a righteous, holy God, but God is a God of second chance and mercy. And this is important. The Almighty God consistently finds ways to make the imperfect perfect again and to make the unclean clean again. God consistently. Remember, God cannot compromise his own holiness. A lot of times you and I make rules. You may have a business place or whatever, and you have some rule. But a lot of times it's like you exempt somebody from the rule. The Almighty God cannot do that because he's holy. So he cannot compromise his own holiness. And a passage we are going to know, I love this passage because it helps me to understand God better, and I hope it does so with you. But I make the statement again that God consistently finds ways to make the unholy holy, to make the unrighteous righteous. But the ways that God finds is never that he compromises his word or his principle. It is as if God, the God of mercy and second chance, it is as if God bends backward without compromising his holiness. As if he bent backward to be of help to man and to be merciful to sinner. To make forgiveness available and possible for everyone. Look at this passage of Leviticus chapter 5. Verse 5, let us hear. I'm just going to pick out the verses that I want. Let us hear verse 5.
And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things,
when you are guilty in one of these things,
that he shall confess that he hath sinned in
that
thing.
That you shall confess that you have sinned
in that thing.
Uh-huh.
And he shall bring his trespass offering.
You shall, because of the sin that you have acknowledged, you shall bring a trespass offering
unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord.
For his sin.
For this sin.
Which he hath sinned.
Which you have committed our sin with. Uh-huh.
A female from the flock.
Now, that's verse 6. Yes. God is telling what type of sacrifice you should bring for that sin. Uh-huh.
A lamb,
mm-hmm,
or a kid of the goats,
mm-hmm,
for a sin offering.
Now, all this in verse 6 is for a sin offering.
And the priest shall make an atonement for him,
uh-huh,
concerning his sin.
Okay, now step down to verse 7.
And he, if he be able not to bring a lamb.
Wait, start again.
And if he be not able.
If he be not able. Watch here. What God, as God bent backward to make it possible for the sinner to have his sins dealt with, while God, as if it were, is bending backward, what you are going to notice is that no man or woman is exempted. What you are going to notice is that there are conditions that must be met by everyone. Here we have just dealt, we have just seen in verse 6 what the person who has committed certain sin must bring as a sin offering. Then verse 7 tells us if the person is unable to. Remember, verse 6 tells us the person should bring a sheep, huh?
A lamb.
A lamb.
Or a kid of the goats.
That's right. But then God wants to help man. He said, if there by chance the person who has sinned that sin and should bring this type of offering is unable to, are we all there? If that man or woman cannot afford to bring that, then verse 7.
And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, two turtle doves.
You hear? You hear? If he cannot bring a sheep, he's a poor person, then let him bring two pigeons. That's right. Two turtle doves. You see, as I speak, this is telling me about the gracious God that God is. The righteous God that God is. So he should bring two turtle doves or two pigeons
unto the Lord.
Unto the Lord. But wait. Suppose that man or woman is a pauper. Are we all there? God, is God going to say, well, your bad luck, master, your bad luck, missus? No, God going to still make it possible for that person to meet some condition or the other. So step down to verse 11.
But if he not be able to bring two turtle doves.
If he's not, he was not able to bring a sheep, a lamb. Eh? Then bring two turtle doves. But if he's not able to bring that, God did not say, dog, eat your supper. No. If he's not able to bring the two turtle doves, my God, what else then? Two turtle doves, I know nothing that. Read on, brother.
or two young pigeons, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah.
Wait. The tenth part of an ephah. That's a little flower. I can't believe it. That's a little flower. What among the things I get out of this is that nobody was without condition. No man or woman and nobody in Israel was so poor that you couldn't bring a little flower. When you hear men and women talk about, when you tell them that they must be baptized and they come out with all the excuse, take them to this passage. No man or woman was without meeting God's condition. Nowhere in the text did it say, well, forget that one. No. To deal with sin, God has always had to set condition. And those conditions, they were always compatible with God's holiness and God's justice and God's mercy. No man or woman then was so poor that he could not meet God's requirement for cleansing, for forgiveness and holiness. May I? As we close, isn't it wonderful, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that today the Almighty God doesn't ask us for sheep. He doesn't ask us for turtle dove. He doesn't ask us for a little flower. You know what? The Almighty God has one sacrifice for sin. Jesus Christ. And Christ is available to every man and to every woman. To every man, to every woman. So we are without excuse. In this passage, we see the holiness of God, the justice of God, the righteousness of God. But we see the mercy of God. We see the kindness of God. We see the wisdom of God. And you know what we see? We see the imperativeness of meeting God's condition. You must meet God's condition for forgiveness. We are going to stand and sing a song to the glory and honor of God's name. When we stand and sing this song, it is a most convenient time for you to step forward and give Jesus Christ your life. We are saying to you today that you need Christ. If you have never become a Christian the Bible's way, you need Jesus Christ. And you don't need Christ tomorrow, because tomorrow is promised to none of us. You need Jesus Christ today. We ask that you step forward now. We are here to help you. Jesus Christ is ready to forgive you. You must hear his word. You have heard his word today. You must believe in his word and believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. And you must repent of your sin and be baptized for the removal of your sins.